it very difficult to locate his whereabouts. It is still a mystery why and by whom Atozadeh was originally abducted. The finger has been pointed at various groups, but the Iranian intelligence service says Atozadeh's case was just another U.S. psychological war stunt. In this segment, Iran Today will be looking at the menacing vibe of the West's soft war against the Islamic Republic. On November 13th, Heshmatullah Atozadeh left home for work at 7:30 a.m. While passing through a bazaar in central Peshawar, his vehicle was attacked by masked gunmen and Atozadeh was dragged away. His bodyguard showed no resistance to the assailants. He spent 500 days with various captors before he was rescued. During his ordeal, Atozadeh was kept in seclusion and was denied any human contact. No one was to speak to him and he was not allowed to contact anyone. In an exclusive interview with Iran Today, Atozadeh gave us his account of what transpired. When we spoke to him, he was still in a state of shock.
They wanted to stop me like that. I think they fired different and sides, up, down, tried to stop me. I didn't drive fast, but my speed was normal 20 kilometers that time. I don't know why they did fire different places.
For 500 days, Atozadeh's family had no idea where he was. Their pleas to the Pakistani government were left unanswered, and frustration mounted as they waited for reassurance from any quarter that Atozadeh was alive.
After my father was kidnapped, my mother got heart disease. So many times at the night and midnight, so I had to take her in hospital, and it was my responsibility to take her in hospital. But I was alone, and my both brother are studying in abroad. So it's very difficult that I remember for a young girl to take her mother alone at the night in hospital without any help.
A few months after Atozadeh was abducted, Iran's intelligence services launched a rescue mission. 4 months later, he was reunited with his wife and daughter. Our cameras were there for Atozadeh's homecoming.
Because he was kidnapped and his place was empty, he was not here, so I lost something in my heart. So it's when you miss your heart, it means that you die. I'm feeling very happy because it's after 17 months, he's coming in home, and I think my heart is coming.
On the night of their reunion, the family sat down to their first joint meal in 17 months. To understand more about the inner workings of the Pakistani culture and society, we spoke with Vahid Hosseini, a professor of international law at Tehran University. Mr. Hosseini has been quite outspoken about the situation in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
به دست در واقع یک مثلث مانند ارتش پاکستان ISI و دولت پاکستان اداره میشه. این سه ضلع مثلث اگر با هم هماهنگ شون به توافق برسن ممکنه مثلا در سیاست گذاری های مناطق مختلف پاکستان نتیجه بده، و الا ممکن است یکی از اینها باعث بطلان اون تصمیم گیری در سطح منطقه بشه.
So who is responsible for what happened on November 13th, 2008? What is still ambiguous is why Atalzadeh was abducted in the first place.
در قواعد بین‌المللی صریحاً این نکته ذکر شده که هر دولتی ملزم هست به این که امنیت دیپلمات کشور خارجی رو تامین بکنه، و توسط دولت میزبان این امنیت تامین میشه. مسلماً امنیت باید تامین بشه، و اگر به اصطلاح کوتاهی کرده باشن خب طرف و یا مثلا مشکلی که به وجود میاد با اون دولت مطرح میشه، نه با مثلا افراد.
Pakistan has been found wanting in the way it handled the hostage case. Islamabad says it did conduct independent investigations into the case to secure Atalzadeh's release and later tried to assist Iran's rescue operation. Pakistan's ambassador to Iran says Pakistan congratulates the Islamic Republic on the success of its mission. There are various groups operating in Pakistan that could be blamed for the hostage taking. There may be a complex network of events behind the incident, or nothing but random lawlessness. But whatever the reason, Iran wants the issue clarified. Before becoming Iran's economic attaché in Pakistan, Atalzadeh had been in various diplomatic positions in countries like Romania, Switzerland and Kenya. But Pakistan was his last mission before retirement, bringing his career to a dramatic close. It's worth mentioning that Atalzadeh's captors acted rather efficiently. Their faces were covered at all times, and Atalzadeh himself was blindfolded most of the time. The only information Atalzadeh managed to obtain was from the conversations going on around him in various dialects and languages.
I was shifted to different groups. The first group speaking Pashto. The second group speaking English fluently. And the third group, they could speak English and Pashto, Farsi.
We asked the Pakistani ambassador in Tehran the question still left unanswered. We wanted to know what group or organization was behind the abduction of Hishmatullah Atalzadeh.
In the beginning, it was mentioned to us that Beit al-Masud group was involved, and that time our intelligence was very close, and I think at one stage came that they were able to bring him. But suddenly Beit al-Masud news of death appeared, and that disturbed the whole arrangements. And then we don't know what channels, then there was also news that he has been gone in the hands of Uzbeks. And then our intelligence agency, the Iran intelligence agency, were working and been talking with all concerned, those who involved in this raid. And most important was to kept secret, because in this process there's a danger of being killed, so we do not want it to friend to be killed.
On the day Iran's intelligence minister announced Atalzadeh's release, he also announced Iran's stance on the matter. Moslehi said Iran had ample evidence that proves those who abducted the Iranian diplomat were directly linked to intelligence services in the US and Israel. Iran today got an exclusive interview with Mr. Moslehi on the case. He told us that harboring a hostage is much more difficult than the actual abduction. The way Atalzadeh was held has provided clues to just how professional his captors were and what kind of training they might have received.
اصلا نوع جابجایی‌هایی که داشتن، ما تقریبا برای همین اقدام که بتونیم تو جابجایی ایشون رو در واقع همراه کنیم و بیاریم، تقریبا نزدیک 4 ماه برادران ما اونجا در واقع اقدامات اطلاعاتی انجام میدادن و منابعمون در واقع بررسی های مختلف منطقه‌ای داشتن تا بتونن این کار رو و این عملیات رو انجام بدن. تو همین اقدام و در واقع کار به خوبی دست هدایت و در واقع راهنمایی هایی که سرویس های اطلاعاتی برای این مجموعه ها دارن اونجا به خوبی میدیدیم.
But the details of Iran's rescue operation was still vague. We asked Mr. Moslehi for more information.
ما مطلع شدیم که وضعیت ایشون به گونه ای هست که داره بین گروه های مسلح در واقع جابجا میشه و به دلیل اینکه اونها یه مجموعه در واقع زندانی که بتونن او رو در زندان نگه دارن و منطقه امنی براشون باشه ندارن، لذا به صورت هفتگی و بعضا دو هفته یک بار او رو دارن جابجا میکنن و در اختیار بین گروه های مختلف در واقع در اختیار اونها قرار میگیره که هر از چندگاهی یه گروهی او رو در واقع نگهداری بکنه.
During my around nearly 17 months and 15, 16 different places, each place is normally between 1-2 days up to 3 months, different places I was kept there.
منابع ما و در واقع مجموعه ای که دنبال آزادسازی ایشون بود توانست در یک اقدامی که این جابجایی میخواست صورت بگیره ایشون رو در واقع تحویل بگیره، به عنوان مجموعه‌ای که بنا بود تحویل بگیره برای اینکه ببره در زندان دیگری. تو این جابجایی ما یک اقدام برادرانمون این بود که اون گروهی که بنا بود تحویل بگیره رو در یه جایی مشغول کردن و بعد از مشغول کردن اون گروه خودشون به عنوان اون گروه در واقع ایشون رو در اختیار قرار گرفتن.
The Pakistani ambassador in Tehran says Islamabad shared intelligence with Tehran to aid its rescue operation.
Pakistan was struggling and doing this all is possible within its resources, and we were cooperating both with Iran and within our own intelligence agencies.
But Iran's intelligence minister denies this. He says Iran's operations were completely independent and that Pakistan played no part in the rescue.
این بحث مستقلاً توسط برادرای وزارت اطلاعات انجام گرفت. هیچ هماهنگی و هیچ زمین سازی توسط هیچ دستگاه اطلاعاتی و هیچ کشوری با ما نبود.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم.
In October 2009, Atazadeh's captors released a video of the Iranian diplomat, but why was it sent? No ransom was demanded and Atazadeh was not allowed to appeal to the Iranian government to secure his release.
I thought this information I gave them through this report reach the president of Iran, and my family will be informed about my situation.
But the Pakistani ambassador says the kidnappers did demand a ransom from his government.
There were major demands, and we have no information whether they asked to Iran intelligence or not, or whether he has been recovered without ransom. We have no information. We may check up with our own intelligence agency. But so far, my information concerned, of course, these people, they always look for a ransom. And there was demands, and Pakistan intelligence agency was prepared to negotiate and meet those demands.
Another of Iran's major intelligence operations was the arrest of Jundullah terrorist group ringleader Abdulmalek Righi. With the blood of more than 400 people on its hands, Jundullah had become a security threat in Iran. Jundullah launched its deadly attacks from inside Pakistan, where it could operate more freely. A few weeks after Righi's arrest, Iran's intelligence services let us in on the specifics of the Righi arrest operation.
ما تقریبا نزدیک به 4 سناریو تعریف کرده بودیم در این اقدام که هر یک از سناریوهامون به دلایل مختلفی به نتیجه رسیدیم که اقدام انجام ندیم. در واقع سناریوی 4ممون که کشاندن او از فضای جمهوری اسلامی و هوای جمهوری اسلامی که میخواست گذر بکنه، در واقع سرویس‌های اطلاعاتی هم تو احساسشون این بود که در محرمانه نگه داشتن حرکت او تلاشای قابل توجهی داشتند.
And Mr. Moslehi emphasized that intelligence services affiliated with the US and Israel were supporting Rigi, in many cases taking over logistics by arranging his flights and planning his movements. Iran's intelligence minister says one of the tactics Iran used was to divert the attention of US and Israeli intelligence services by conducting a couple of fake operations elsewhere.
ما البته در رابطه با دستگیری ایشون یکی دو اقدام فریب هم داشتیم، یعنی ما یکی دو اقدام فریب و یک اقدام اصلی داشتیم. اون دو اقدام فریبمون مسیر خودش رو طی می‌کرد برای اینکه متوجه نشن که ما در واقع اقدام اصلیمون چیه و کجا میخواییم اقدام انجام بدیم. اون دو اقدام فریبمون خدمت شما عرض کنم که مجموعه های مختلف رو به خودش مشغول کرده بود، شاید بعضی از سرویس ها هم به خودش مشغول کرده بود اون دو اقدام، که بتونیم این اقدام اصلی رو به نتیجه برسیم و به موفقیت برسیم.
Iran says Pakistani soil has become a safe haven for groups working to destabilize the Islamic Republic and a danger zone for Iranians in general. Furthermore, the Iranian government is critical of Islamabad for doing practically nothing to clamp down on groups and individuals operating within its borders. Men like Rigi are living comfortably among the Pakistani people in their cities and villages. They feel no significant threat from the government. Terrorist attacks are carried out and then everyone goes home. After being arrested, Abdul Malik Rigi said he was living quite freely in the Pakistani city of Quetta and met with US envoys in the same city.
بعد از انتخابات اوباما دوباره اینها با ما رابطه کردن و از طریق همون شخصی که من اسم بردم از طریق اون رابطه کردن اومدن در شهر کویته پاکستان و با من ملاقات کرد.
Rigi was not living in hiding. He held a Pakistani ID card and an Afghan passport. Rigi traveled like every other citizen and flew from Karachi to Dubai on a mission that would become his last.
ما در پاکستان شاید بیش از فکر میکنم حدود 4 میلیون یا 3 میلیون مهاجر افغانی داریم که همه شناسنامه پاکستانی گرفتن و براحتی با پولی که با پلیس پاکستان میدن اینا میتونن شناسنامه و تابعیت پاکستان رو بگیرن. تا این اندازه دیگه اوج به اصطلاح حقوق شهروندیه که باید برای مردم رعایت بشه مطرح میسازه که در اینجا رعایت نشد، یعنی مردم پاکستان هم از حقوق شهروندی خودشون برخوردار نیستن و یا امنیت شهروندی ندارن. هر کسی میتونه براحتی، چنانچه ما دیدیم که برای این توریست بین‌المللی مالک ریگی هم شناسنامه پاکستانی صادر شد و حتی پاسپورت افغانی هم صادر شده.
Jundullah's second in command, Rigi's older brother Abdul Hamid, also described Pakistan as an ideal base for Jundullah.
ما اونجا تو دالبنده بودیم، به فرض مثلا نیروی پاکستانی برای مواد مخدر می‌رفتن، محاصره می‌کردن و نیروها که ولز مال جندالله بودن اصلا نمی‌اومدن نزدیک. بیش میدونست این خونه مال عبدالمالکی، اون خونه مال عبدالمالکی، اینجا نیرو داره، بالا خونه هاشون نگهبان دارن، سلاح سنگین داره، سلاح سبک داره، میم جا به جا میکنه، همه چیزا رو میدونستن. تو بازار خود دالبنده اونجا رفته هم بدارستیم برای این که همه چیز مشخصیه.
But the Pakistani ambassador has defended Islamabad, saying it too is a victim of the terrorist groups who have set up base within its borders.
Right now, there are terrorist movement and terrorist war, and you see in Pakistan, our own intelligence offices, the military headquarters are being attacked many times. Our very senior military officers, up to level of colonel, brigadier, have been killed in these attacks. So they have been traveling in Islamabad, and traveling in Pakistan, all over, and that's why they weren't successful in achieving and blasting the bombs in any place they like. So it means their traveling was more or less very frequent and very obvious, but could not be captured. These are maybe the different issues that intelligence can answer.
Pakistan has been grappling with extremism for years, and terrorist groups have been draining the government's resources, causing damage and claiming lives on a regular basis. Abbasi accuses non-state actors of creating friction between Iran and Pakistan.
There are many groups are active, and each group is playing their own objectives. They want to achieve certain objectives. They have their own backings from different groups, from different countries. And they have been playing the games, maybe one of the game to create more tensions and disturbance with the Iran. But so far, the diplomatic positions taken by the our political government, President of Pakistan, Asif al-Zardari, President, Prime Minister of Pakistan, Mr. Yousuf Gilani, they are very clear that Iran is the number one priority. There's a neighbor, there's a Muslim, there's a historic relations. No way we will make those players to achieve their objectives. We call non-state actors, non-state actors who are trying to play their games and creating new things, tensions, but we will not make them successful, inshallah.
There is a historical bond between Iran and Pakistan. They are neighboring countries and are both Muslim nations. But according to Dr. Hosseini, the U.S. presence in Pakistan has undermined its security and is driving a wedge between Tehran and Islamabad.
این آشفته بازاری که در منطقه به وجود آمده گروه های سوء استفاده میکنن یا در واقع سریعتر و راحتر بگویم به اصطلاح سازمان های جاسوسی بین المللی سوء استفاده میکنن که بخوان به یک شکلی مردم را با جمهوری اسلامی ایران یا مردم را با کسانی که در خدمت مردم هست روبرو بکنن و مردم با اونها درگیر باشن.
Iran accuses the United States of waging a psychological war against the Islamic Republic. Despite the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the U.S. does not always use military engagement to influence nations and prompt, quote, regime change wherever it sees fit. Despite contrary evidence, the September 11th suicide attacks were blamed on Middle Eastern extremists. This later became the prime justification for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the world accepted these conflicts as part of the so-called war on terror. With Iran, the US is utilizing every media outlet at its disposal to demonize it over its nuclear energy program. Media manipulation and psychological war has been used to justify stringent sanctions on Iran, and the world accepts this as part of the US strategy. In an interview with MSNBC News Channel on February 2nd, Vice President Joe Biden expressed the seemingly civilized way the U.S. is dealing with Iran's, quote, defiance.
We are going to end up much better off than we would have if we had tried to go in there and just physically change the regime.
Mother. اطلاعات و مباحث امنیتی در منطقه جمهوری اسلامی از یه جایگاه بسیار بالایی برخوردار. اینکه حالا یه اقدامات کوری بعضی جاها صورت میگیره این به این معنا نیست که خدمت شما عرض کنم مجموعه اطلاعاتی استکبار یا موساد یا مجموعه هایی که اومدن کنار ما در واقع لونه کردند و به دنبال این هستند که اقداماتی رو داشته باشن اینها سلطه اطلاعاتی بر ما دارن به هیچ وجه این لونه نیست.
The U.S. pushed its way into the region on the pretext of its war on terror. The result of its increasing presence, however, has afforded nothing but heightened insecurity and terror. The U.S. has barged into many regional countries, introducing its actions as military intervention, not interference. But after 9 years of war in Afghanistan and 5 more in Iraq, and U.S. military bases littered all over the region, drug trafficking as one of terrorism's main sources of income has multiplied in recent years. Millions have died as a result of U.S. wars, and despite growing public aversion to the U.S. presence in their country, the U.S. refuses to respect the sovereignty of nations it penetrates. It seems the U.S. plans to combat any country that resists its advances in one way or another, be it full-blown invasion or soft war.